Broadcasting, Universal Pictures and Working Title present 66, a truish story, starring Greg Sulkin as Bernie Rubens, Eddie Marsan as his father Manny, Helena Bonham Carter as his mother Esther, Catherine Tate as Auntie Lila, and Peter Serafinowicz as Uncle Jimmy. Directed by Paul Vineland. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. North London, September 1965. Four boys line up waiting to be picked to play in their class football team.
Some boys don't get picked in life. For all sorts of reasons.
Get a move on, Linton.
All right, handball.
He's German.
Shivers.
He's Welsh.
Oh, God, Thompson.
He's got polio. And that's me.
Fucking Ada! Rubens!
My name is Bernie Rubens, and this is my story. This is my family outside our shop. And that's my dad. He's a bit strange. He eats in his vest and pants because he doesn't like stains. He wants a house so clean that even our carpet has to have another carpet on top of it. Every time the doorbell rings, my parents almost have a heart attack.
Bernie's parents hurriedly roll up the carpet.
Esther? Are you there?
Dad also doesn't like driving over 25 miles per hour. Any kind of dog.
Meeting a dog on the pavement, Manny turns and walks away.
The tax man.
He hides a box of cash.
And I'm pretty sure he doesn't like his brother Jimmy.
Right, here's a good one. Listen to this. So, my wife's feeling burst. She has twins. That's it, I faint. Boom, flat out on the floor. Excuse me, darling. I come round and she's crying. I says, what's the matter? She says, what's the matter? You fainted. So we had to get your brother in to name the kids. I said, what do you call him? She said, well, he called the girl Denise. I said, Denise is very nice. I quite like that, yeah. What do you call a boy? She says, the nephew. Now, you see, that's this the meal I've got for a brother.
Manny scowls at Jimmy.
They say it all started the first time my grandpa took him swimming.
A man in a trilby leads two little boys in trunks up to a swimming pool. He pushes the bigger boy in. He bobs up, smiling.
That's my boy, Jimmy! That's my boy! See, Mammy? It's easy!
He throws in the other boy.
It always works! If it didn't, you drown, so you swim!
He looks for the second child.
Mammy? Mammy?
He's sinking underwater.
The only thing Dad was ever really good at was dancing. Mum and Dad met in a dance hall and danced all night. Mum says he swept her off her feet, and so she promised to stick with him for the rest of her life, in sickness and in health. Problem is, she never got the health bit.
Manny is in hospital.
Mr. Rubens. Duodenal ulcer, repetitive.
Oh, Manny, before I forget, I baked you some macaroons.
Manny looks at Bernie with a sickly expression.
If family's bad, school's worse.
Bernie gives a boy a piggyback.
I go to school with my brother Alvy.
Alvy throws the boy off and climbs on himself.
He's mine!
But we're not especially close. At home, me and Alvy share a bedroom. But I'm not allowed to touch any of his things, especially his rug, which makes going to the toilet at night extremely dangerous.
Alvy shines a torch at Bernie and shoots him with a cap gun.
Ow!
What a Mr. Trappy, it's going to be chock-a-block if we don't go now.
At the seaside, Bernie's parents load the car.
It all finally came to a head last summer.
Come on, Bernie. Be a devil. Drive faster than you can walk.
Go on. Let's see if we go home before Christmas.
Keep your mouth shut.
Stop.
Where's my milk?
Oh, God, what
milk? Mum was spending so much time shouting at Alvy and worrying about Dad.
Where's Bernie?
I think she just forgot about me.
Mum!
I had to make some impression on the world soon, or I was going to disappear forever.
Under a stormy sky, Bernie, in his thick glasses, is swimming in a rough sea, battered by waves near a pier, waving his arms, trying to attract his parents' attention as they drive off with Alvy.
Mom! Somebody help me,
A white stick taps along the floor of a synagogue in front of a pair of feet in shiny shoes.
And then, one day, I was sat in between four of the weirdest-looking boys when an old blind rabbi came to my rescue.
Shalom, boys, shalom, and welcome to your first bar mitzvah class. We have a long way to go. But first, let me tell you where it is that we are going. A bar mitzvah is the most important time in a person's life. It is the day you commit your life to God. It is the day God himself listens to you and pays you regard. It is the day when a boy becomes a man. It is an epic two-day festival at which you are the absolute center of attention.
At my bar mitzvah, God would switch on a spotlight. And for the first time, everyone would really see me.
Light shines through a stained glass window onto Bernie's face.
From that moment on, I became the greatest party organizer in history. I spent every minute preparing for the day when Bernie Rubens would walk on water.
Everybody you know will be invited, everyone will come, there will be presents everywhere. And you stand there. On that day, a son of the commandments, a bar mitzvah.
My bar mitzvah was going to make my brother Alvi's look like a children's tea party. Mine was going to be the Gone with the Winds of bar mitzvahs. It was going to be the Cassius Clare bar mitzvahs. The Jesus Christ of bar mitzvahs. In 9 months' time, I was going to be a legend.
A newspaper headline, Ramsey, I'm not very disappointed, just disappointed.
That Ingman team, they got two chances. No chance and fat chance.
Jimmy reads the paper while Manny unloads a van outside their shop. They suddenly see a large sign going up next door, Fine Fair Supermarket. Another shopkeeper joins them.
Big bugger, ain't it?
Very big bugger, Leo. Very big.
A smiling man in a hat approaches them.
I'm only guessing, but would I be right in presuming that you, sir, are Mr. Rubens, and this is your fine son?
No.
You ain't even opened yet. How can you be expanding?
No man can hold back the tides of change, Mr. Rubens. Now, one option is that you come and work for us. You bring your customers over.
You can't do that in our family. I've never bowed my knee to another man.
I think we should be realistic here. With our low pricing policy, our advertising budget, the degree of choice we offer, Fine Fair's sheer size.
And you think that's what makes a successful business?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you,
Manny,
we've known every one of our customers for years. They have a loyalty to us that you cannot buy.
Mr. Rubens, I understand.
And I'll tell you something else. We're Jewish. And if you know your Bible, you know we've got a habit of taking on Goliaths and winning. And I'll tell you why. One word. Underdog.
Well, that's two words.
One word.
Maybe hyphenated.
And if there's one thing you can count on the English doing, it's backing the underdog. Mr. Spender.
Manny hands back the man's business card. A long line of women with supermarket trolleys winds past the front of Ruben's shop. Jimmy and Manny come out and view the balloons and opening today sign next door glumly. Manny looks down the queue.
Oh, yeah, broch.
Excuse me, ladies. Seems a bit of a park, would you? Thank you.
Come on, get your rock hard tomatoes, one and four a pound.
Bernie puts down a Frankie Vaughan LP in the garage.
Dear Mr. Vaughan, my name is Bernie Rubens, fan club membership number 856. I'm soon to be celebrating my bar mitzvah, and I'll be very happy if you could perform a few of your songs on the night. I hope you don't mind me writing to you, but as my Uncle Jimmy always says, that's the thing about being Jewish. You haven't got a foreskin, so to make up for it, you need a lot of balls.
Bernie climbs the hotel stairs.
My party will be held at the Henshaw Hotel. As it happened, I'm actually going there this weekend for my cousin Rosella's wedding.
In a smart suit, Bernie looks around the plush foyer.
It really is a magnificent venue.
Bernie walks past the seating plan and Toastmaster and into the reception where his mother is greeted by the father of the bride.
Stella.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Mazel tov, Uncle Henry.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Bernard.
So Imee's on his deathbed, and he says to his wife, get the priest, I want to convert. She says, you've been a Jew all your life, why do you want to convert? He says, better one of them should die than one of us.
Better one of them should die than one of us.
The blind rabbi eats with the Rubens.
Will it be you or Jimmy giving the wedding toast, Manny?
No, Manny is giving it, Rabbi. He's the older brother.
I don't know about you, but I always think the secret of a good wedding toast is a little levity. This is, after all, a time of celebration or of joy, and...
What he's trying to say is, break the habit of a lifetime, and for God's sake, be funny, Manny.
Hmm. And we remember Rosella's Uncle Bennett, who died of a stroke last year. Also last year, on her mother's side, Uncle Samuel, dead with his kidneys. Also her second cousin, David, gone these 3 years from heart failure. I'm sure they're all smiling down on us, along with her grandmother, Rachel, who recently succumbed to cancer of the head. I'm sorry, that's the wrong card. Bowel, that's cancer of the bowel. But we mustn't only look at the sad side of things. We should also be grateful for those of us who are here today who might not have been. Cousin Alfred had a very bad motorcycle sidecar accident recently, and he received severe injuries to the head. But he is here with us today. He may no longer be the sharpest stick in the box, but he is still always very welcome, as indeed are both these balls. Sorry, parents. I think we all agree that Alfred is a brave batsman who will be ready for whatever balls God bowls at him. The same could not be said for Uncle Monty, who has been recently institutionalized because his mind is completely famished. But I'm pleased to say that Sadie and the twins are here with us today, having just recovered from the whole salmonella incident. So...
Bernie jumps up.
Could you all please be upstanding for Rosella and Esther? I mean, Rosella and Lester.
Rosella and Lester.
Rosella and Lester.
Breathing heavily, with an anguished expression, Bernie pushes his way through the guests, out of the reception, and stumbles down the marble stairs. He falls to his knees, gasping for breath on the landing. A couple run to him and help him sit up.
Breathe.
Smoking, Esther stands over him.
He's not very good at breathing. Always had a bit of a weak chest. No one knows why.
Hmm. Do you know what set it off? Anything out of the usual happen?
He looks at his father anxiously.
No.
I want you to try this. Breathe out. Breathe in. Well, Mrs. Rubens, what do you want? The good news or the bad news?
Bad.
The bad news is your son has asthma.
What is it?
Bernie has very sensitive airways. Can make breathing difficult. I've got an asthma clinic on Mondays and Thursdays. Why don't you send this young man along? See if we can help.
Darling, our table's ready.
Fine.
The doctor starts to leave.
You'll get some rest now, Bernie.
Okay.
Bernie waves feebly, then stands up.
You all right?
Yeah. Good boy.
Bernie is in bed. As he takes off his glasses and lies down, his father enters.
Just going to turn the gas off now. The room's warm enough.
Bernie lifts his head and watches his father kneel in his vest and striped pyjama bottoms in front of the tiled fireplace. He switches off the gas fire, then backs away from it, watching. As he nears the door, light from passing traffic outside the window illuminates him.
Good night.
Good night, Dad.
The brothers turn over in their beds as their father returns. He looks at the fire. Alvy sits up.
Just checking it went out.
It's definitely out.
Manny points at Alvy, who lies down.
Good night, boys.
The boys lie down. Manny enters again, looking at the gas fire, which is off.
He's such an idiot.
Bernie, ignoring Alvy, looks wistful. Morning. Bernie roller skates down his road past the post van and milk float.
Morning. And next band.
I'm popping out.
Have a good time.
Bye, Bernie.
Bye!
Cross-eyed, Bernie is blowing into a pipe to keep a little ball airborne, then into a machine to measure lung capacity.
Very good. Well, now, according to this, you're actually dead.
The doctor smiles. Bernie hops off the couch.
Got any hobbies, Bernie? Football, I expect, is it? I was a centre-forward. Not much use anymore, I'm afraid. Still, I'd probably get into the England team the way they're playing now. You see the score against Poland? 1-1 against Poland. And it was just a friendly, but honestly... All right, the good news is, I think we can help you. I want you to come for breathing classes once a week. The bad news is, I want you to give this note to your PE teacher. I'm afraid you won't be able to play football for a while, Bernie.
Really?
Bernie grins.
What a stroke of luck. Now I could devote my time to the seating plan. For example, I was thinking of moving Alvy in between Mr. Sulkin and Mr. K, well known for having the worst breath in North London. Cocktails would also be key to a swinging party.
In the garage, Terry spits out a cocktail.
I'd give it a 9.
You said the vodka martini was a 9.
Definitely.
You're giving everything the same score.
Nine again. I'm sorry, Bernie. I only really like lemonade.
Just try this.
What is it?
It's a Bloody Mary.
I'm only asking.
Just having a look.
Jimmy and Manny are in their empty shop.
It's time. We don't have to. Know your enemy. That's what I always say. If you don't know your enemy, how can you defeat them?
I can't go tonight. I've got Bernie's class.
We won't be long. Now, come on.
Manny reluctantly follows Jimmy out of the shop. On a blackboard, the words Bar Mitzvah, Making Memories, underlined. A classroom full of fathers and sons. A boy and his dad go to the front of the class next to the rabbi.
We work on it 2 hours a night and then 3 hours a day at weekends. I tell Raymond, you can't play outside so much now. You have to sit with your old dad and learn the Torah. He doesn't mind. It keeps us out of trouble.
Yes.
Keeps us on the right side of the law.
The 10 months I've spent helping Stephen study for his bar mitzvah have been the most important months of my life. It brought back wonderful memories of my own father and the special times we shared before he went mad. It makes the time we had together even more precious.
He starts to cry. His son pats him on the arm. A fat man blows out his cheeks impatiently. Jimmy and Manny wander through the supermarket. Manny picks up an avocado and studies it, frowning.
Who is it?
It's an avocado. And it's the end. It's definitely the end.
I've been playing in a bridge team for 20 years. And tonight is the night of the regional final that we've been working towards for 20 years. But I've decided it's more important to be here tonight with my wonderful son than to be there, fulfilling the dream of a lifetime.
The self-satisfied fat man and his overweight son sit down. Bernie, sitting alone, looks self-conscious. Reluctantly, he gets up and stands in front of the class near to the blind rabbi, shifting uneasily from one foot to the other.
You give him another minute, shall we, Bernie?
The rabbi drinks from a cup. After the class, the fat father and son and Bernie wait outside the synagogue when his parents pull up.
Just them?
All right, I know.
Dad, he had some business he had to attend to. I'm sorry, he's sorry.
Oh, Mum, this is Mr. Kimmel. He's one of the dads and he's a caterer. We've been discussing the party.
Oh?
Nice to meet you, Mrs. Rubens.
Nice to meet you.
Now, Bernie tells me you're planning a formal dinner for around 250 guests, right?
Oh?
In bed, Manny studies Kimmel's card.
Told him he was going to have a separate children's menu. Wanted to know if they did ice sculptures. So some drawings of great Jews and literature as a starting point. You're going to have to tell him.
Esther gets up from the dressing table and joins a sullen-looking Manny who's sitting up in bed in his vest.
Oh, you could sell the shop. Then there'd be plenty of money.
I'm telling you and I'm telling Jimmy, I am not selling the shop. It is a matter of principle.
Principle? No, it's not. It's out of fear. Too afraid to change anything.
I'm not selling.
Manny takes off his glasses and turns out the light.
Well, then you're going to have to tell your son about his cut-price bar mitzvah.
Manny and Esther stare at the ceiling.
Take him out for the day on Sunday. Tell him then.
What am I going to do with him?
I don't know, Manny. Do whatever normal fathers and sons do.
She turns to him.
Be his dad. Just for a day.
Esther turns over and switches off the light. Manny, in a trilby, a cigarette clamped between his lips, drives a miserable-looking Bernie at a snail's pace with a long queue of traffic behind them. They park. Bernie gets out of the car with a kite. His father locks the car door, then tries the handle. He starts to leave, then returns to check the handle again. He walks away, then goes back to the car again, watched by a bemused Bernie. A father and two boys play football. The ball rolls towards Manny. He miskicks it in the wrong direction. Manny and Bernie exchange dispirited looks. They wait at an ice cream van for two cones. Manny takes lots of paper napkins from the dispenser. He has them tucked around his neck as he eats the ice cream, walking along gloomily. A father flies a kite for two laughing children. A dog eats Bernie's kite. His father lets go of the string and sprints away.
Run!
They dash back to the car.
Hurry up, Dad! Dad!
Manny lets Bernie into the car just as the Alsatian leaps on the bonnet. They drive back home slowly with the dog standing on the bonnet. Esther and Jimmy's wife, Lila, are in the kitchen.
No one's expecting you to be clever. You think Zaida was clever?
He wasn't clever. In fact, he was a bit of a putz.
He was practically backward, but he was a worker.
Yeah, he worked.
He was backward, but he went forward because he worked. If your Zaida hadn't got run over, who knows what he would have been now? Because he tried.
I tried.
You tried? 22%, you say you tried? Where is the alimentary canal? Egypt? Don't encourage him, Jimmy. Manny? Any other conversations you were thinking about?
Yeah, so... we have another son. With a bar mitzvah. We're thinking that we might make it more...
Bernie smiles, hopefully.
Cozy.
Cozy.
Okay. What do you mean?
Well, with more of a family feel.
Right, so what?
Well, less people.
Less people?
Yeah, maybe 100 guests.
100?
Still a sizable amount, 100's plenty.
I had 200 at mine.
Things are different now.
Since Fine Fair opened, our takings have gone down by half.
But the Empire Suite will be half empty.
No, it won't. You're not having the Empire Suite.
No, we think the rainbow room will be better.
The rainbow room? That's the size of that kitchen.
Don't be silly. Besides, no one's ever complained about space in there, have they, Lila?
They have not. That is one of the most spacious kitchens I've ever enjoyed.
Bernie glumly packs up his books at the synagogue.
Bye, boys. See you next week. Well done. Off you go. Keep practicing.
Bye, Bernie.
Bye, Bernie.
The blind rabbi feels his way between the desks towards Bernie.
Bernie. You're very quiet today, Bernie. Not sulking, I hope. So you have a smaller reception room. That's not so bad, is it?
I don't think you understand how much this means to me, Rabbi Linov.
It means a lot to your father, too. And he is worrying about the business, so...
Look!
Bernie holds up a book.
The most important life-affirming event in a boy's life. So spare no expense. Break the bank. They spared no expense at Alvi's bar mitzvah.
And do you remember what it did to your parents? The stress, the tears, the hair loss. Your parents cannot cope with a big event, Bernie. That's the truth of it. If he worries, she worries. You want your mother worrying? You want her to go bald? Is that what you want? What's that?
No.
No. So you put a nice face on it, Bernie. Lighten the load, okay? You know, a smaller reception is more fashionable now. It's more modern.
Exclusive?
Exclusive, exactly, yes.
Okay. I suppose it's very easy in a huge room for everything to just become a great big party without any focus on the person it's all actually about. But in a smaller room, I could be the real centre of attention.
Bernie imagines himself spotlit on a podium surrounded by guests offering him gifts.
I decided to cut the dross out of Alvi's guest list. The people who'd just given him pens, like Zelda and Monty Glitzman. And on rechecking, everyone who is now dead. Okay. I need to redesign the seating plan.
That's my boy, that's my boy. You cannot keep Bernie Rubens down, am I right? Are you wearing your nice face now? I think you are. There's a smile there, yes? You know, Bernie, this reminds me so very much of my own bar mitzvah.
Bernie leaves.
Bernie?
Dear Ronnie and Reggie Quay, my name is...
He crosses out Bernie.
Alvi Rubens. And I'm soon to be celebrating my bar mitzvah. The problem is, I'm planning a really exclusive occasion, and I'm going to have to disappoint a large number of people. Could you supply a couple of heavies on the door?
Well, it's lovely to meet you boys at last. Perry talks about you all the time. Quite kings of the castle at St. Joseph's, eh? The fabulous four.
Terry's mother, wearing a low-cut blouse, hands round a plate of fish fingers.
So it is a bar mitzvah then, Bernie? It's like a birthday, is it?
It's bigger than that. It's when I become a man and the greatest day of my entire life.
Oh, turn that down, Lustan. More fish fingers.
Yeah.
And you have a party, do you?
Yeah. It's not going to be quite as big as it was. It's slightly more exclusive. You can come if you like.
When is it?
30th of July.
Oh, that rings a bell. Stan, any reason why July the 30th rings a bell?
It's the World Cup final.
July the 30th is the World Cup final.
Yes, World Cup final day, July 30th.
So we make it provisional, shall we, darling? We'll come if England are knocked out, but obviously if England make the World Cup final, it's a no.
Bernie looks horror-struck and imagines himself back on the podium and his party guests backing away with their gifts.
It's the World Cup final. We'll have to change the date.
Don't be silly. That'd be an offence against God and man. Manny, tell him.
It'd be an offence against God and man.
But no one will turn up if England reach the final.
England won't reach the final.
But if they do, then it'll just be our family and the rabbi.
Cut me out.
Believe me, Bernie, no one is going to want to watch a stupid football match instead of coming to your bar mitzvah.
Distraught, Bernie sits down on a plastic-covered chair, breathing heavily.
Mum, Bernie's stopped breathing again.
The surgery.
Truth is, Bernie, there's not much physically wrong with your lungs. But asthma can have other causes. Is there anything particularly worrying you at the moment?
Do you think England can get into the World Cup final?
I see. Well, I don't know, Bernie. There's some fine players in the squad. Moore, Bobby Charlton.
But you wouldn't say they were the favourites, would you?
No, I suppose not. There's Brazil. And Portugal have got Eusebio. Hang on.
He presents Bernie with a book, A History of International Football.
Why don't you borrow this?
While the doctor answers the phone, Bernie opens the book.
Dr. Barry,
It all suddenly became clear.
All right.
All my future happiness hung in the balance, and football was the key.
The doctor returns to the surgery.
Got a dash, I'm afraid. No, finish your juice and try not to worry. England could surprise us all yet. Just keep your fingers crossed.
Bernie holds up crossed fingers, but as the doctor leaves, uncrosses them. In the garage, Bernie reads the book and sticks up a World Cup fixture chart.
From that moment on, my life only had one purpose. I needed to know everything about everything to do with football. To save my bar mitzvah, I had to make the World Cup my obsession. The only thing that mattered was that England did not reach that final.
Sir Stanley Rouse and FIFA officials presided over the draw for the World Cup competition at a London hotel today.
England versus Uruguay in the opening match on July the 11th at Wembley.
Come on, play football!
Rabbi, I have a question to ask you.
Yes, Bernie.
It's about morality.
Of course it is.
What's God's attitude if someone doesn't want their own country to win the World Cup?
Well,
can that person still go to heaven?
This I'll have to look into. As far as I know, it's not specifically dealt with in the Old Testament.
All around the world, the last warm-up matches were being played, from Moscow to Rio de Janeiro. And then they were on their way. From every corner of the earth they came. The mighty knights of the age, Eusebio, Ratin, Pelé of Brazil. The heroes who only had one purpose in life, to stick up for Bernie Rubens and his bar mitzvah.
Bernie kisses a photo of Pelé.
I don't understand it, Leo. How can you sell to them? You've been in fish for generations.
It was never my shot, Manny, you know what I mean? The old man dies, me and Tony, it was just expected I'd take it on. But me, it was never what I wanted. Fucking fish. Now we're going to halve the money. I'm going to set up my own thing, you know? Promoting sporting events. Maybe you should think about doing the same thing, yeah? Start fresh. Get out from under Jimmy's wing. Listen, my Uncle Angelo, he's got this shoe shop. He's looking to sell. He's going back to Italy.
Do I know from shoes?
I'm just saying. Think about it. Men our age, we don't get many chances like this.
Manny, clutching a piece of paper with the address, finds the shoe shop, Rimini's Shoes, and goes in to talk to the owner. He offers Manny a brightly coloured cigarette with a gold filter from his silver cigarette case.
Well, my capital is tied up in another establishment just now, but I'm looking to move into a new area.
Hmm.
Well, I'll be seeing a few places. Mm-hmm. I want to find something with demand.
But everybody has got a foot.
He lights Manny's cigarette. Manny leaves, pauses in the doorway, looks at the cigarette, and smiles, walking off.
All right. We sell. Yeah.
Esther throws her arms around Manny. Black and white footage of crowds thronging Wembley Way. July 11th, opening match, England versus Uruguay. In the tunnel, Jack Charlton, Jimmy Greaves, Gordon Banks and Bobby Charlton. The Uruguayans line up.
It now gives me great pleasure to declare open the 8th World Football Championships.
The team enters the stadium. The doctor unveils a blow football table in the surgery.
In honour of this auspicious day, the opening of the 8th World Cup finals, who do you want to be, England or Uruguay?
Uruguay.
The doctor hands Bernie a blowpipe.
The question remains, does this English side have the nation's support?
Yes, it does.
Heads.
Yes, it is.
England to kick off. Wembley Stadium, a sea of Union Jacks. Is this the opening of the 1966 World Cup? England off to a nervous start. The Uruguayan underdog certainly full of fire.
Footage of the game interspersed with the blow football match between the doctor and Bernie.
There's an opportunity there, but no, he's offside.
The doctor and Bernie move around the table excitedly, the pipes in their mouths.
Greaves to Connolly. Hunt alongside, he's there. Connolly heads, oh, just too high.
The doctor produces a plate of orange slices.
England finding goals are just not coming to them. Ball to Hunt, it's Greaves. Five English players pushing forward. Oh, great play!
The doctor and Bernie crouch over the table, blowing the ball back and forth until Bernie grabs the whistle hanging round the doctor's neck.
Players from Uruguay seem to have an answer to everything England throw at them. Current to ball, only seconds left now. And there's the final whistle, and it's 0-0. Things look bleak for England as Alf Ramsey's side leave the pitch, having failed to distinguish themselves.
Well, they have been subjected to a tremendous amount of pressure. I think we've all felt this.
Bloody zombies.
Even myself.
Stan was just saying he thinks he'll be out next round. He bet his life on it. He thinks Germany will win. Isn't that right, Stan?
England? Bloody zombies. They'll be out next round. Bet my life on it. Kratz will win that again.
Oh, excuse me.
Terry's mum runs to the door.
Auntie, I'm a bit fat. Do you have a bit of your tonka cut off?
What?
Well, my mum says that you have a bit of your tonka cut off in front of everyone by a rabbi with a cake knife.
It's not called your tongue, it's called your cock. And I've had a bit cut off already.
Terry's dad frowns at Bernie. Manny taps a coloured cigarette on a silver case in front of the hall mirror. Esther brushes his camel hair coat.
Well, now, who's the Gansamacher?
The boys sit on the stairs watching their parents.
Too much?
Yeah, too much.
She takes off his coat.
There you are. Victor Mature.
This is a man I married.
She lights his cigarette for him.
Close your eyes, boys.
They kiss.
Ugh.
Alvy looks sick and goes upstairs.
Good luck.
Manny looks in the mirror and grins confidently. Bernie smiles.
Bernie? I know things might not have been. I know I might have been.
Dad, can I have an extra 50 guests?
You can have 20.
40.
30.
And an orchestra.
You can have a four-piece.
Eight-piece.
Done. Now, let's just hope England don't make it to the final.
Leave that to me.
In the garage, the England mascot hangs from a noose, pins sticking in it.
By the powers of Asmodeus, Belial and Abaddon, who destroys and lays waste, may England be beaten by Mexico in Group 1. May the one who is known as Charlton suffer most grievous damnation.
Bernie throws a photo of Bobby Charlton onto a fire. He uses cut-out letters to make an anonymous note.
Dear Mr. Ramsey, if you want to see your wife again, do not select Bobby Moore for the match on Saturday.
He throws darts at a photo of the England squad.
Right. Your business is of definite interest to us. Head office have agreed. We will be making you an offer.
And what sort of offer are we talking about?
Oh, well, it's too early to say.
Yeah, but what sort of figure, roughly?
Well, head office will make that decision, based on your accounts, of course.
There's two different sets of accounts. Me and Manny run the shop as two separate businesses.
Then we'll need to see both sets, as well as tax returns for the last 5 years. And we'll get back to you quick as we can.
Jimmy grins broadly. He turns to Manny, who's grimacing.
Are you all right, Mr. Rubens? Mr. Rubens?
A pair of bare feet on a hospital trolley being wheeled down a corridor. Jimmy talks to Esther in the ward.
This is tax returns. He's hardly declared anything.
Esther looks over at bedridden Manny.
If he hadn't been hiding away that money in the loft. If he tells him the truth, he'll go to prison.
Oh, God.
Esther covers her eyes anxiously.
Is this our worst enemy?
She shakes her head and starts to cry. Jimmy hugs her.
What are we gonna do, eh?
We'll be all right. Come on, now.
Manny looks over at Esther, concerned. At his bedside, Alvy switches the light on and off.
You think this is gonna affect my bar mitzvah?
What do you think?
A portrait of Pope Paul VI with a flickering light above it. The Reuben family are in a church hall.
So, in its full glory, this is the Shamrock Function Room. And the great thing about this particular celebratory venue is that, included in the price, like, you have full usage of the bar and the plastic seating. And we'll be throwing in the personal address system. and the musical entertainment itself. Take a look.
Bernie looks at a poster for the Rocking Shamrocks.
The best little band ever to come out of Cork. Combined ages of over 356. But they play like teenage troublemakers. Right, well, I'll let you ponder that, like. But I just want to say three words to you. Gift, horse, and mouth.
He nods and leaves. Esther smiles. Bernie and Manny look miserable. Alvy is on stage fiddling with a microphone stand.
Well, it's clean. It's not exactly the Henshaw, is it? Please, can't we use the savings?
What did you say?
In the loft.
There are no savings in the loft, Bernie. If there was any savings in the loft, well, there'd be a safety net.
For what?
For emergencies. What if Alvy wants to go to university?
Bernie watches Alvy hit himself with a mic.
Ouch.
Jimmy and the family are outside the shoe shop.
Keep them closed. Right. 3, 2, 1, open them. Ta-da!
He points to the sign, Jimmy's shoes. Esther looks uncomfortable, Manny sick. Manny is serving in the shop.
Come on, Manny, chop, chop. Customer's waiting. Relax. We shall kneel at your feet and pamper till you purchase.
Kneeling, Manny helps a customer try on a shoe.
Look at that. Like a duck to water, eh?
Watching Manny serve, Esther and Bernie look embarrassed and uncomfortable. A plate covered by a saucepan lid on a pan of boiling water. Manny arrives home and lifts the lid. It's fish, peas and boiled potatoes. He takes off his clothes and shoes and in his vest and pants puts the plate on the table.
Manny, is that you?
What?
Manny?
Manny walks into the sitting room in his underwear.
Oh, there you are. Dr. and Mrs. Berry, they come to take Bernie out to the pictures. Gonna see those magnificent men in their flying machines?
The doctor and his wife stare at Manny in his underwear.
Thought they'd have a cup of tea first. Would you like some more?
Thank you very much.
Manny sits down, legs apart.
Bernie tells me you were in the RAF, Mr. Rubens.
That's right.
I'm sure you fellows had it a lot rougher than us.
It's terrible times. Before the missions, you couldn't sleep. You couldn't do anything for the nerves.
You were a pilot.
Cook.
Bernie and Terry are in the garage.
Remind me what this is all for. If Mexico beat England, England definitely won't get through. So I want to give them all the support I can.
All right, well, go on. Kicker than that is Patielos en los.
Patielos en los!
What's bollocks? It hasn't got bollocks in.
Try not.
Brazil or Alman?
Give it to me. Testicles, you idiot.
July 16th, England versus Mexico. The teams walk on to the Wembley pitch. Bernie roller skates to the doctor's house holding a card in a brown paper bag. He looks through the glass of the front door and lets himself into the wood-panelled hall.
Hello?
Bernie looks around.
Dr. Barry?
He takes a homemade bar mitzvah invitation out of the bag and props it on the hall table.
Hello?
He runs upstairs towards the sound of the commentary and goes into the main bedroom.
Bobby Charlton. Hunt with him. Charlton try for a shot. It's in!
Bollocks. Bollocks, bollocks, bollocks.
He sits on the bed. The doctor's wife returns with another man. She looks upstairs.
Kenny?
She goes up to the bedroom. It's empty.
Kenny?
Bernie is hiding in the wardrobe.
I told you, he won't be back for hours.
Bernie watches in horror as they rip off each other's clothes.
Well, you just can't keep these Mexicans down. They just keep on. England seems to be struggling now. Charlton passing a ball to Greaves. A chance!
goal!
Charlton
set it up.
No. Yes. Oh, yes.
England 2, Mexico 0. Bernie is in his garage writing wankers in Spanish across a photo of the England team. Bernie is in the synagogue.
Please, God. Tomorrow, England play France. Of course, do whatever you think is right. But may I suggest giving the whole England team diarrhea and breaking a couple of their legs just to be sure? Thank you.
The England captain, Bobby Moore, leaves out his team wearing white shirts and dark blue shorts.
July 20th, England versus France. Jimmy is on his balcony with Manny adjusting the aerial on his radio. Jimmy hits the radio.
I don't know what's wrong with this one. Maybe I should buy a television set like the Franklin. Then I can have it on all bleeding night.
Lovely. Here you are. Sit. Come on, everybody, sit. Boys, come on, quick.
Yeah,
it's chilling. This is fabulous.
Lovely.
Come on, boys. Mm. Come on. Thanks for doing this, Lila. That's it. Eat it while it's hot.
Lila puts plates of unappetizing shepherd's pie in front of the family. Mm. Esther nods to Bernie to eat it. Oh. Lila smiles as she chews.
This is delicious. Mm. Ask me how I am.
How are you?
Don't ask. So you're excited, Bernie? All set for your big day?
Bernie shrugs.
Oh, you're not still thinking about a final, are you?
I don't know what you're worrying about. The French are a good side, right?
The goalkeeper Eon's broken his leg, and they've replaced him with Arba, who hasn't got the greatest record. And Gruen's left Comban out and switched to a different formation, which I think is a mistake.
Stunned, the family stare at Bernie.
Still they're fast, the frogs, though, aren't they? Eh?
Jimmy flicks a pea.
Here comes Greaves, and it's Jack Charlton, and Hunt scores! It's Hunt!
England 1, France 0. A Union Jack flies outside the flat above. Manny looks up at the ceiling.
Relax, it's a fluke. Look, they've got 55 minutes left. It's loads of time.
Mosquier lifts the ball. Goudet's there, but it's too high.
I always say that a good thing about being English is that even if you do eventually lose, no one really cares. So taking part of it matters.
The ball's in the air, and in comes Hunt!
Alvy sneers at Bernie, who looks distraught and lunges at him.
England.
Shut up!
Oi, 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 oi,
stop it! Stop it, Bernie!
Flags wave outside the flats. Manny is driving the family home.
2-0, England.
Shut up. You stop making such a fuss. Nothing is going to go wrong with your bar mitzvah. Down the hairdressers, they say the whole thing is just a joke, because when it comes to it, Portugal are going to win, hands down. Whatever happens, the moment the England step onto the pitch with that Eusebio, all your troubles are over.
She winks at Bernie. They all peer out of the car window at smoke billowing from their house. There's a fire engine outside. They park and get out. A fireman leads them upstairs in the blackened house.
You were lucky. The attic's gutted, but the roof timbers are sound.
The fireman holds up a firework.
Kids, fire a rocket through the window.
Manny runs up to the attic.
Oh, excuse me, sir. You mustn't go up there.
Come on, downstairs.
Sir, can't go up there. Excuse me, sir. Sir, it's not safe up there, really.
Manny climbs up to the attic and scrabbles in the dark, looking for his box of cash. On his knees, he reaches out for the box to find that all remains is a pile of ash. He rubs his fingers in the ash and starts to sob. He wipes his nose with the back of his hand and lets the charred remains of his cash fall from his fingers. Bernie and Alvy look out of the window at their father, who's outside in the dark, looking shell-shocked. His breath freezes as he exhales. His chin trembles. Esther and Jimmy approach him.
Oh, Manny. blame yourself.
Manny steps away. Esther looks up at the boys.
What could you do? A World Cup willy with a rocket up its tuckers. Who could predict that?
Manny wrings his hands.
Come on, Manny. Come back to mine. Lilo, cook up a storm.
Manny pushes him away.
Manny, come on. Let's go and see him, all right? Come on, Tom.
Yeah, you go off with him! I know that's what you always wanted to do! Go with him!
She slaps Manny.
Well, that's right. I really wanted to go with Jimmy all along. I only saddled myself with you for the money and the glamorous lifestyle. You bloody idiot!
Manny's smoke-blackened face crumples.
Bloody idiot!
Manny hangs his head, sobbing. Esther takes him in her arms. He sobs on her shoulder. Jimmy stands in the background, watching. Manny straightens up.
They're not here, are they?
Inside them.
They didn't see anything, did they? They see nothing.
No, they didn't. Come
they're inside. Dead.
Come inside.
The boys move away from the window as their mother ushers their father inside, past Jimmy.
Sorry, Jimmy.
It's all right, Matthew. Don't be silly.
Get a cup of tea, eh?
Yeah.
Jimmy follows them in. Saucepans on the stairs catch drips of water. Bernie comes down carrying pyjamas. He watches his mother, who's sitting in the kitchen smoking, looking tearful. Bernie goes into the sitting room where two beds have been made up on the floor. He hands some pyjamas to Alvy, who's sitting on one of the beds.
Thanks.
Bernie sits down on the other bed opposite Alvy, who puts on his pyjama jacket.
You know what this means?
What?
It means now your permits really is fucked.
The synagogue.
Me ben Tezrim.
Ezrim.
Shana. Tamala.
Vamala.
Vayikak Moshe va'alon.
Pachron.
Eight ha'anoshim ha'ele. Asher nikvu.
Nikvu.
Betemot.
Beshemot. You've always been my best student, Bernie. So what's wrong? Are you studying?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Bernie gives a V sign to the blind rabbi. His guide dog snarls.
Shh, Gertie. Why aren't you studying?
Because there's no point! Because the house burned down, so we haven't got any money. So we've got to have the bar mitzvah home. And everything stinks of smoke. And no one's going to come anyway because it's the World Cup final. But my stupid dad, an hour!
What does it mean to become bar mitzvah?
It means to be a son of the commandment.
Mm-hmm. And what does this mean?
To become a man.
Ah. And what does it mean to become a man?
Bernie looks troubled.
So, all these months of studying, and you cannot answer this. To become a man is to accept responsibility for your own actions, your own sins. On the day of your bar mitzvah, something real happens. You become the man you will be for the rest of your life. Think about this. Not the gifts, not the party. Think about who you are. And who you want to be. Besides, England, never get into the final.
July 26th.
And England kick off in the semi-final. England's impregnable defence must face Portugal's fearsome attack. Oh.
Come on, England!
Come on, England!
One of his blistering shots.
Just popping out.
No, it goes wide.
Yes. What?
Norris.
Fine, absolutely. Have a good time, darling.
Seven goals in this competition.
Here
we go.
Here we bloody well go.
Bernie is at Terry's house watching their TV.
First. Now it's Charlton. A goal! England is
2, Portugal 1. Bernie's friends leap up, celebrating.
And that's it. England have made it to the final of the World Cup 1966.
Bernie, miserable, sits on Terry's sofa. Crying in front of the flickering TV, Bernie remembers Alvy being hoisted aloft on a chair at his lavish bar mitzvah.
Palmer's Green, 7168. Hello.
Esther, it's Sarah.
Cousin Sarah.
I'm afraid we aren't going to be able to make Bernie's bar mitzvah. Heimer's auntie's died.
I thought she died last year. Palmer's Green, 7168. Hello.
It's Annie here. I don't think I'll be able to make Bernie's bar mitzvah. I'm not well at all. My glands are up. I feel terrible.
All the staff have phoned in sick.
I've got 9 appointments on that very afternoon. I've got to do them all myself.
To get the opportunity to go to Fiji, it's a once in a lifetime.
Fiji? Your dog's passed away. I see. Well, I hope it isn't contagious. Yeah. All right. Goodbye. That was Mr. Kimmel. He can't do the catering.
Bernie looks downcast.
Not a problem. Right from the start, Aunt Lila's been offering to do the whole thing.
Esther and Bernie sit at the kitchen table. Lila takes a tray out of the oven. She spears a white blob with a cocktail stick and offers it to Esther, who looks doubtful but eats it.
Hmm.
She smiles and nods encouragingly.
What is it?
Guess.
Potato?
No.
Chicken?
No. Getting warmer?
Fish?
Right, first time. What do you think?
Bernie, try some. It's very good.
No thanks, Auntie Lila.
Bernie leaves the table. Frowning, Esther looks at a cookery book picture of an elaborate bar mitzvah cake. Next to it, two blackened sponges oozing jam, which Lila pats down. Esther stares at them.
The icing makes a difference.
Yeah.
Jimmy tells me Manny hasn't turned up for work the last few days.
Esther nods.
How is he?
Just stays in bed. Won't get up.
I was thinking about it the other night. Everything he worries about happening happens. It's like he's cursed. I'll do everything for that man.
Manny, who overheard Esther, puts an envelope addressed to her on the dressing table. In a smart suit, he places a letter to Jimmy in his neatly packed suitcase and shuts it. He leaves the house, putting on his trilby before trudging down the garden path and out of the gate, looking forlorn.
Dear Jimmy, this is your brother Manny writing to you. I can no longer work for Jimmy's Shoes. I cannot kneel before other men. I cannot bow to my brother when he enters the room. That is my nature. I've written to Esther, whose life I've ruined for the last 20 years. I know that you will look after her and the boys. They will be better off with you taking care of them. Instead of them always taking care of me, your brother, Emmanuel.
What's going on? What's that?
He's in a fall, isn't he? Kimmy? Kimmy, he's up there, right, putting that sign up. He's just lost his balance. Down here, straight away. Yeah, I saw it happen.
Kimmy!
Bang! Gone.
Kimmy!
He came down like a great flood, it was,
Kimmy. It's Manny.
He just fell off.
Can I come with him? I'm his brother, can I come with him? Can I?
He's a big fella, isn't he?
Kimmy, I'm coming with you.
Not opening
his eyes.
I'll tell you, mate.
You're
too big for that ladder.
Close his eyes on. Can he hear what I'm saying?
Too big for that bloody ladder.
Then I'm
going to
lock up and then I'm
going to
come with you.
Jimmy.
You'll
be all right.
Jimmy. Thank you. I don't deserve. I'm lucky to have you as a brother. Always have been. Imagine how dull it would have been, eh? Two like me, I wouldn't have ever got a single customer. I'm just a schmuck of the firm.
Esther pats Manny's shoulder as he sits crying by Jimmy's hospital bed.
Take this home, shall I?
Esther picks up his suitcase. He stares at Jimmy, who lies motionless, his head bandaged.
You coming?
Manny stands up and kisses his finger and touches Jimmy's head. Dawn over Wembley's Twin Towers, July 30th, England versus West Germany. A man puts on a John Bull outfit. Fans queue for tickets with banners. A box of programmes is unpacked. They're displayed with souvenir rosettes. Two policemen walk past. A man erects the goal. Another paints a white line. Tartan rugs are placed on wicker chairs. The nets are strung up in goal. The strip is hung up in the dressing room.
Well, Mr. Austin, what can you do? If you're ill, you're ill. And your wife too. And your son. Who would have thought something that serious could come on that quickly? Suppose you'd be all too ill to watch the match then as well. What match? The World Cup final, you total and utter lying bastard. Well, good morning, Bar Mitzvah boy.
Morning.
You look very nice.
Bernie and his family, in their best clothes, pass flag-waving fans in the street on their way to the synagogue.
And so it was, that what was supposed to be the best day of my life turned out to be the best day in the lives of everyone in England, except me.
Shema Yisrael.
The man in John Bull costume carries a Union Jack shield and flag. A paper seller plays the mouth organ. A man puts on a World Cup Willy lion's head as he gets out of a van. The turnstiles are checked. In the synagogue, Bernie looks nervous as he climbs up the steps to join the blind rabbi, who pats him on the shoulder reassuringly. Bernie looks down at Alvy, his father, and Jimmy in a neck brace. Lila and his mother are in the women's seats. Bernie kisses his shawl. Manny stops Alvy tapping the seat. Bernie looks at the sun shining through the stained glass window.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech olam, asher bachavanu mikol ha'amim, v'natan lanu et Torato. Baruch atah Adonai,
Baruch hu Baruch Shema,
natein ha'Torah, asher nikru b'shema. Baruch
Nachat Adonai, Notein HaTorah.
Amen.
Mazel Tov,
Mazel Tov. Bernie, Mazel Tov. Well, that's a tough part over. Let's go have some fun.
Surprise!
Zelda! Monty! Bernie's the glitzman.
Your invitation must have got lost in the post, but we knew it was today, so we came anyway. I made you a Jewish World Cup willy. Mazel Tov.
She pinches his cheek.
Nice to see you. You have grown a lot.
That was nice, isn't it?
Bernie places the mascot next to a line of pen-shaped boxes and goes into the sitting room looking disconsolately around at the few guests. Bernie goes into the kitchen where Lila is holding a frying pan which is on fire. He goes out of the back door to see two guests sneaking out through the side gate. In the garden, he frowns at the rocking shamrocks and shakes his head.
How are you doing?
Fine, thanks, Mr. Levine.
So, do you know when the rabbi plans to leave?
He's just got it.
Yeah, it's just we can't leave until he does, and a few of us would like to see at least a bit of the match.
Where?
By the way, nearly forgot your present. There you go. So, maybe you could speed him up a bit.
It's £2 in an envelope.
No.
Exasperated, the man looks at his watch.
The roar of the crowd almost drowning out the Royal Marines here at Wembley. 97,000 fans awaiting 22 players.
Hello, Rabbi
Lennon. Ah, there's the young man, then. What was this fuss isn't going to your head?
His dog fouls the garden.
No, Rabbi Lennon.
Well, Mazel Tov again, huh?
And as the teams walk out onto the pitch, it's as if every voice in the country is willing England to win this, their first ever...
A guest has his ear to the wall.
Sorry, Bernie, just listening to the wall.
32 years since a home nation won the World Cup. Can England make history today? There's Gordon Banks, the finest goalkeeper in the world, many say. And can Bobby Charlton produce another of his blistering goals? We're moments away now from the kickoff of this, the final, the 1966 World Cup.
I'd like to thank you all for not coming here today. You have helped to make this one of the worst bar mitzvah celebrations ever. I think the only person who could say they had a worse party than me would be Rabbi Yusuf's, who had to strangle a Nazi on his bar mitzvah. I'd hoped today would be the day when my life actually started, but all it's done is confirm that it's not going to start, that it's over before it's begun. If I'm not enough of a person to attract the attention of my own mum and dad, then what chance do I have with anyone else on the planet? What I've learned about manhood today is that I've got to be man enough to face the fact that I'm not important to anyone and never will be.
There you are. You ready to do the speeches?
Ready.
Esther sits down on a divan in the boys' blackened bedroom.
Bernie, look, I know today hasn't gone quite the way you expected, but this morning, in the service, you were so... I felt... and I saw my excellent son.
They smile at each other. Alvie comes in and points at Bernie's feet on his rug.
Off.
Bernie steps off it. Alvie leaves.
Come.
Bernie edges around Alvie's rug.
Come. The whistle blows, and that's it, they're off. The 66 World Cup final has begun. West Germany in possession, still coming, there's a shot!
And finally Aunt Ruth, who was mercifully taken in her sleep. But as a wise man once said, this is a time for levity. I know this is my son Bernie's big day, and he would like this room to be full of the sound of laughter, so... Well, I'm no Jimmy, but...
Money.
No, please.
Money.
You have to excuse me, Rabbi. So this Orthodox Jew, he moves from Poland to London, and a few years later he goes back to visit his mum. And she says, where's your beard? And he says, Mama, no one wears beards in London. So she says, are you still kosher? And he says, Mama, no one's kosher in London. So then she says...
Are you still circumcised?
Are you still circumcised?
No!
What? Sorry.
And the atmosphere at Wembley has changed in an instant. England!
Now let's hear from our son, Bernie, who today celebrates his bar mitzvah.
Manny, camera. We should get a photograph first. Yeah, everyone, please come in, join us.
Don't be shy.
Please come into position. Please come. Get a family picture.
All right.
Zelda,
yeah.
Go at the back.
Yeah. Oh, Zelda, I'll follow you. Where are you going?
All right, Bernie, get the telephone. Get the telephone.
It's not clicking.
Why is it wound on?
Of course I wound it on. It's just not clicking.
I don't think it's wound on. Manny, pass it over. It just needs winding.
I'm telling you, I wound it on.
Elby, what are you doing?
I'm going to get my new tattoo into the photo.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I got a tattoo. I thought, you know, it's the least I could do.
Oh, my God. You've misspelt England. L-A-N-D.
Rabbi,
come in, join us.
Dirty steak.
What is the matter with you? Mother's right, Alvy. If you can't spell it, don't tattoo it.
I think you need to wind it on.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I've wound it on.
That's very strange. It's very strange. Lila,
dirty.
Nobody's done anything on my carpet.
Stinks.
The guide dog has fouled the carpet.
Excuse me, can everyone check their shoes?
Check your shoes, take your shoes off.
Check my wheels.
I'll fix it, it works. Take it, take it.
Take the photograph,
right.
We'll go out and get some
everyone
fresh
ready?
Air.
Smile, right. 1, 2, 3. Smile, on the count of three, all right?
All right, right. Ready? Hold your breath, ready?
All right.
1, 2. Where's Bernie?
They all look around.
He was just here.
Bernie?
He's probably in the back of the garage. He spends all his time back there now.
Worried, Esther goes outside, followed by Manny.
It's an A. Now cover it up.
Take one now. We'll take another one later.
Bernie?
They go into the garage.
Bernie?
Amazed, they look at Bernie's carefully laid out preparations for his bar mitzvah. Cards, books, wall charts, streamers and leaflets. A place setting with a doily and Bernie's name card. Esther straightens the forks with an anguished expression. There is a book on planning the perfect bar mitzvah and Kimmel's kosher catering leaflet. Alvy enters. He wanders around looking at Bernie's collection, then notices a cine projector and switches it on. Esther and Manny look taken aback to see the film of Alvy smiling at his opulent bar mitzvah party at the Henshaw Hotel. She holds out her hand, Manny takes it. Alvy is being showered with gifts. Trying to get a look, Bernie is pushed back by a bigger boy. Alvy and his parents watch the film of his extravagant celebration cake. Bernie is trying to help cut it with the family, but is squeezed out. Bernie tries to join the family at the top table, but there is no room and he's sent away. Esther and Manny watch with dismay as Bernie dances with his father, smiling broadly. Manny turns and leaves the garage. Bernie is outside, still wearing his shawl, roller skating down the road, looking unhappy. At Wembley, England score. Fans in a pub cheer. England 1, West Germany 1. Terry and his family jump for joy in front of their TV. Bernie cuts a lonely figure, rolling down the road towards the doctor's house. A football breaks a window. It's the doctor in his garden.
Alice? Oh, it's you.
Well, don't you look Jewish?
It's my bar mitzvah.
Yes, of course. That explains the,
Bernie pulls off his shawl.
How'd it go?
Not perfect.
That is the way of the world, Bernie. You'll find that out soon enough.
The doctor kicks the ball at another window.
Oh! You were lucky, Bernie, do you know that? You already know not to expect too much. Because this is what being a man is like.
It's all right, son. Breathe.
Manny turns up in the garden with Bernie's inhaler. He looks at the doctor.
My wife left me.
I'm sorry. Come on, Bernie. Come on.
Manny ushers Bernie out of the garden, a hand on his shoulder. He pats his head. They sit together in the car. Manny looks across at Bernie, who stares straight ahead.
I suppose there's another way of looking at it. How many boys can say, on the day of their bar mitzvah, England played in a World Cup final? It may never happen again. And besides, this team, this England team, no one believed in them. People were ridiculing them, calling them this, calling them that, but they never gave up, did they? They never gave in. Seems to me that this is a team we should be supporting, especially on the day of your bar mitzvah. Now, be honest with me, Bernie. When all is said and done, who do you want to win?
England.
England?
England.
Manny smiles and switches on the car radio.
Oh, beautifully defended by Charlton. If England can just hold on to their 2-1 lead for another 12 minutes, the World Cup will be theirs.
Let's go.
And the Germans keep pressing forward. Make it count. We're in injury time now, and England must do it. Oh, no! It's a free kick to West Germany. It's Everett coming, Nkosis, and Weber. And oh, yes, they've done it! The Germans have scored in the last seconds. Weber has equalised. It's England 2, West Germany 2. Never has the World Cup produced such a
finish.
Does
this mean they go to extra time?
What a dramatic end.
Good.
Looking determined, Manny executes a perfect U-turn and speeds off. As the match continues, he races across a junction and reaches 50 miles an hour.
There goes the whistle for the end of 90 minutes.
We won't get in.
But you'll have been there. Bernie Rubens is going to have a bar mitzvah to remember.
Parked, Manny winds down the window for the policeman.
I know I was speeding, I know I jumped the red light, but, sir, by my life, it's my first time. It's my son's bar mitzvah. I've got to get him to Wembley for the end of the match. We just want to be there. For England.
Is that right, then? Isn't that a charming, patriotic gesture? Name?
Rubens.
Manny speeds into the crowded car park at Wembley. Bernie laughs as his father expertly skids to a halt in a space. They jump out and start to run.
Go, go!
Dad, you haven't locked the car!
Sonny!
What if Germany win?
God won't let Germany win! Not on my son's bar mitzvah!
They dash through the parked cars towards the twin towers of the stadium.
Sporting events.
Well?
It's 3-2 to England.
Yes!
This is Jimmy's brother, you know, the fella I'm always talking about.
Oh, is he the funny one?
No, I'm the other one.
A bit late, ain't you?
No, we haven't got tickets. We just wanted a beer. It's Bernie's bar mitzvah.
Your bar mitzvah?
Yeah.
He gives Bernie two tickets.
Mazel tov.
Thanks!
What a mensch.
He hurries off as a policeman approaches.
No one's here.
Climb over.
Bernie and Manny climb over the turnstiles.
All right.
They squeeze in through the cheering, flag-waving fans. Bernie beams with delight. England 4, West Germany 2. Manny and Bernie grab each other, laughing and jumping up and down. They wave the bar mitzvah shawl above their heads like a football scarf. Bobby Charlton looks tearful. Gordon Banks beams. Charlton and Cohen embrace. Manny kisses Bernie. The crowd go mad. Alan Ball and Nobby Stiles hug. The photographers jostle for pictures. Manny lifts up Bernie. Jimmy Greaves congratulates Alan Ball. Bobby Moore smiles. Bernie and Manny push their way through the crowd to the edge of the steps, where the team are going up for the presentation in their red and white strip. Bernie reaches out and pats the players on their backs as they pass. Manny and Bernie hug each other.
That was the best moment ever with my dad.
Manny gives a thumbs up as Bobby Moore receives the trophy from the Queen. Moore holds it over his head to the roar of the crowd.
And then we went home, and it was the best evening ever. We had fish and chips, we fooled around. I don't remember us fooling around before.
They play football in the garden, cheered on by Jimmy in his wheelchair. Esther joins in the game, holding a cigarette in her hand. Lila appears in the garden with a lurid blue and yellow iced cake on a tray. Manny sends the ball flying into the middle of the cake. They all cheer. Lila has a sickly smile. Jimmy holds up his arms.
But what I now think is this. What happens when you become a man is that you stop blaming your dad for not being perfect. You realise he's just a man. And you love the man he is. And on my bar mitzvah, my dad became my friend for one day. And I loved him. And I always will.
Bernie leaps up into his father's arms and they embrace, smiling ecstatically. The end.
Funny, but it's true. What loneliness can do. Since I've been away, I have loved you more each day. Walking back to happiness. Whoop-a, oh yeah, yeah. Said goodbye to loneliness. Whoop-a, oh yeah, yeah. I never knew I'd miss you. Now I know what I must do. Walking back to happiness I shared with you. I'm making up for things I said. Whoop-a, oh yeah, yeah. And mistakes to which they led. Whoop-a, oh yeah, yeah. I shouldn't have gone away. So I'm coming back today. I'm walking back to happiness I threw away. Walking back to happiness with you. Said farewell to loneliness I knew. Side, foolish pride, learned the truth from tears I cried. Spread the news, I'm on my way. Whoop-a, oh yeah, yeah. All my blues have blown away. Whoop-a, oh yeah, yeah. I'm bringing you love so true, cause that's what I owe to you. Walking back to happiness I shared with you. Walking back to happiness.
and that's the way that you said farewell to loneliness I knew. I laid aside foolish pride, learned the truth from tears I cried. Spread the news, I'm on my way. Whoop-a, oh yeah, yeah. All my blues have blown away. Whoop-a, oh yeah, yeah. I'm bringing you love so true, 'cause that's what I owe to you. Walking back to happiness I shared with you.